Well, good morning. It is good to see everybody once again. I feel like it's been forever. I was on a two-month rotation coming to see you guys, and it's been a little while, it seems like. And so it's good to be back with you. It's good to be back in the church, period. I know our church has just started to get back together the last 2 weeks, so it's been really good for us. I did a lot of lessons online, which has been a blessing, and I know you guys did some as well. So just having that avenue was a blessing to keep going, but it doesn't account for our ability to be here and worship together. So again, it is a blessing and an honor that we can be together this morning. And staying in Galatians, if you would, if you have your Bibles, I'm going to begin here in chapter 5, beginning here in verse 1 in just a moment. I want us to think about today what we think about is consistency. And I want us to think about that consistency is key. And I know that we've heard that phrase several times throughout our lives. Consistency is key. The more that you are consistent with something, the better you will be at. Now, this is completely different from repetition. And I don't want to confuse the two here. You can be repetitive in something as something you constantly do, but there's also something with consistency where it's something that, like consistency within going to church. We could be repetitive, it's just what we do, or we can be consistent that we have godly things, not just the church building in and of itself. When I wake up every day, I feel like I have this routine, if you will. You might say it's a repetitive thing. In reality, it's a consistent thing. And what I do is I know that from 8 to 5, Monday through Friday, I go to work. You might say that that part is the repetitive nature. The consistency comes in where what do I do within my workplace? I have 3 meetings every single day built in from 8 to 5, no matter what. And I know within that, anytime someone could create another meeting, depending on if they want a safety meeting or a production meeting or something that's going on. Within my daily life, I find that there are certain things that I want to do. And in order for me to be able to do those things, I have to look at the things that are already built in. Again, I know that Monday through Friday, from 8 to 5, I'm going to my workplace. That is built in. 3 times a day, no matter what, there's meetings at the same time, all three meetings, every single day. Those things are already built in. Now, I also have to do my job. My normal job, going out as a coordinator and a production manager, I have to go out and make sure things are getting done. I have to do that within the time frame of 8 to 5, but with also in the time frame of those meetings. Then there comes my lunch hour, and I'm going to take that lunch hour within that time frame. So now I've already probably, out of an 8 to 5 day, I've already taken about 4 hours worth of meetings and worth of lunch out of my day. I have to find some time to get the other things done. And there are some things that my boss wants me to do. There's some things my employees want me to do. There's some things that I want to do. And there's some things that just come up out of the nature. They just happen over time. Now, there are certain things that we want to do. And that's what I want to get to this morning is. When we want to make ourselves better in life, which is what we should do spiritually, there's things that are around us that are just naturally built in. And I have to succumb to those things at times. I have to give into those things. I have to go to work tomorrow morning from 8 to 5. That's exactly what Kevin has to do. But within that, there might be some things that I want to do. I enjoy exercising and working out, okay? Many of you know that I run marathons, and I've kind of gotten away from those things, but I just like to work out. So what I do is, during my lunch hour, I utilize that time to exercise. And in the last 5 minutes of my 1 hour, that's when I cram my lunch in my mouth, but then I go on. I built that in for me. Again, I have the things that I have to do throughout the day. But I want to exercise. So at a certain time of the day, during my lunch hour, I'm going to exercise. That is my choice. My point being is I have a goal to either get fit, lose weight, eat healthy, some of that nature. And in order for me to do that, I have to find some sort of consistency to be able to do that. Because if I go all week long and don't exercise at all or don't eat healthy at all, do I think that I will ever get fit or lose weight at all? No. Okay, so I have to find some time to do that. Our challenge is that we wake up one day and at the end of the day we say, I just ran out of time. I didn't have time to do those things. And I said, you know what? I wanted to wake up. I wanted to exercise. I wanted to eat right. But you know, I just didn't make my meals. I didn't prep my meals today. So I had to order some fast food things. And I just ordered me a couple cheeseburgers and that was it. I got home. I had four kids to eat and they wanted pasta and pizzas and all the carbohydrate stuff. So I just, that's what I ate. And at the end of the day, I found myself gaining 3 pounds instead of hopefully getting on track and making my life healthy. How many of you are in that same boat? I'm sure we all are. There are some things in life what we want to do, but life tells us when we can do them, how to do them. And so as we look at goals in life, we find that at the end of the day, I just didn't have that time. That's an excuse. And we filter those things into our spiritual lives as well. We wake up and I didn't go to church Sunday. Why didn't you go to church Sunday? Well, it was a beautiful day. It was 74 degrees outside. There's all kinds of stuff I wanted to get done and out in the yard. Excuses. We didn't read our Bibles today. Why didn't we read our Bibles today? Because I was still out in the yard. I was trying to finish up that project, or I had to go to work. I had to do something else, and I just didn't have time to read my Bible. I bet you had time to look at your phone on social media at least 5 minutes worth out of an entire day. Did you not? And I bet it was a lot more than 5 minutes. 5 minutes. 5 minutes. Think about that. 5 minutes I could read at least one, if not two, chapters in my Bible. It doesn't matter. 5 minutes, that's it. But at the end of the day, we didn't do it. Why? Other things got my way. We didn't pray at all today. Why didn't we pray at all today? Again, those things in my life trumped me. But I bet you did the things that were built in. I bet you got up and went to work on time. I bet you attended every one of those meetings on time. I bet you got your kids to whatever sports whenever they come back up again. I bet you get there on time. I bet you ate 3 squares of meals a day at least somewhere around the same time every single day. We make time for certain things, but we fail to make time for other things. And when we don't do that, or when we fail to do that, we lose that sort of that form of consistency, and then we wonder why we're not growing. We wonder why we're not maturing. We wonder why we're not achieving the goals that we want to do. Look at Galatians chapter 5, beginning here in verse 1. I'm reading on the New American Standard Version. But Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1, it says, "It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery." Think about what Paul is writing here. He says, you at one point were subject to slavery. You were slave of sin. You were obedient to that. That's what you had to do because that's what you gave into. That's what you were subject to. However, Jesus Christ set you free from that which you were bound to. You're no longer bound to those things. You're free now to live in Christ Jesus. What he's saying is, don't go back to that way. Don't be subject again to a yoke of slavery. How do I do that? If you've ever been baptized, been saved from your sins, you repented, you've confessed, how is it that you keep from going back to an old way of life? You have to do the good things. You have to do the righteous things. You have to, again, worship, encourage your brothers and sisters in Christ. Pray, read your Bible, stand firm in the gospel, resist temptation and sin. Okay, those continual things is how you're going to defeat this. Can you do those things just once, maybe a year, and still no longer fall into again, slave of sin? No, you can't do that. It has to be a continual thing. And he's going to make that point in chapter 5. He's going to make that point in chapter 6. It's a daily walk. Again, if I want to strive for something and get better and do something, it can't be something that I just do once every blue moon. You'll forget anything that you learned. You'll forget anything that you were striving for. You'll never see maturity here. And you'll always fall back to that which you shouldn't ever go back to. Skip down to verse 7, if you would, with me. Chapter 5. He says in verse 7, "You are running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion did not come from him who calls you. A little leaven leavens a whole lump of dough. I have confidence in you and in the Lord that you will adopt no other view. But the one who is disturbing you will bear his judgment, whoever he is. But I, brethren, if I still preach circumcision, why am I still persecuted? Then the stumbling blocks of the cross have been abolished. I wish that those who were troubling you would even mutilate themselves." Now, he's writing here because he wants them to recognize you have been saved from your sins, number one. Number two, you have been set free from the old law, okay? And that being, quit going back to the old law. to try to get your salvation. And that's what they were doing. Do we need circumcision or not? It's not a circumcision of the flesh, it's a circumcision of the heart. And they missed that point. And he says, who's out there teaching you this concept? Who's telling you something totally different than which I have told you, that which Christ has told you? Who's persuading you to go back to some other form of method? Why did you give in to them? Why did you listen to them? So many times we're trying to do something. We're out there day by day doing these things, and we're trying to get better. We're striving for this perfection of whatever it is in our life. And if something comes along and it persuades us to go the other way, how many of you have ever tried to eat healthy, lose weight, or one of those form of fashions of nutrition? I think in some form of way we all have. The first of the year, I think that's probably the New Year's resolution is probably the most recognized, the most popular resolution there is someone to eat healthy and lose weight. And all of a sudden you're doing great. Everything's going fine. You see some weight loss going on there. But all of a sudden somebody decided to order pizza. Somebody decided to bake some chocolate chip cookies. And all of a sudden you just smell it and you just feel like you're in heaven all over again. And you want those things, you desire those things, and somebody says, would you like one? And you say, absolutely no, I'm doing very well, thank you very much. And they go, are you sure? No, I'm not really sure. My downfall is, the fact is I have to think about what I say. Because my response dictates my heart and my desire. So when they say, would you like pizza? My answer is, no, thank you. Usually, this is something I'm trying to do. I'm doing better on. If they say, would you like some pizza? I'm usually like, absolutely, I would. However, I'm going to go over here and eat this bland salad. But absolutely, I would love that pizza. And I would like some cinnamon rolls with it, some chocolate chip cookies with it. And what am I doing in my mind? I'm arousing the desire for that food all over again. I may not think about that. I may unconsciously do that, but I am. And so all of a sudden, next moment, I'm like, man, I'm really craving some brownies tonight. I don't know why. Because you stirred everything back up again, and you didn't realize that. You stirred up the passion and desire in your heart that you want, that fleshly desire, and you didn't realize what you did. And you did it to yourself. I mean, we're always going to be around sin. We're always going to be in this world, unfortunately, until Christ Jesus comes. But how are we going to respond to those things? I mean, if you think about that, I'm married to my beautiful wife, and all of a sudden I know I can't commit adultery, but man, there's this beautiful woman, and there she goes. I can't stop looking. Holy cow, I wish my wife looked like that. What did you just do? Did you commit adultery physically? No, but you did in your heart, and now you have that desire, and you just arose that desire. And now every time you look at your spouse, you're like, why don't you look like her? That's what I want. No, what you wanted was standing right there. That's why you chose this one. That's what you got. But we're arousing these things in our heart unconsciously because there's no continuity. There's no consistency in our striving to do good things and doing better and becoming mature. Look back here at our context in verse 13 of chapter 5. In verse 13, for you are called to freedom, brethren. Only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in your word in the statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you divide and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another. I want to go on to verse 16. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality and sorcery. Impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, and factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarned you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us not become boastful, challenging one another, envying one another. How is it that we are supposed to live daily? day in and day out. You might say, Kevin, I keep failing everything I try to do better. Time and time again, I find myself striving to overcome this addiction, striving to overcome these things, but every time I turn around, I just keep failing over and over again. And I think the reason why is there's no consistency with good things in our lives. When we wake up, there has to be this pattern of lifestyle that's what we do. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. That's what I'm going to do. At 10 a.m. every single day, I'm going to read my Bible, no matter what. Now, you might be driving in a car somewhere. I probably wouldn't urge you to read your Bible at that point. But at some point, as soon as you get a stopping point, if you don't have your physical Bible with you, open your phone up. It's on there. Trust me. You have an ability to do so many things, but we make so many excuses why we fail to do that. And the only way we're going to see the results that we want, again, I'm talking spiritual things, is by having some form of consistency in our lives. Amen. Now, think about this for just a moment. Again, let's go back to the analogy, and this is one thing I love our Lord about, is we can look at our physical lives and glean so many things spiritually. When I grew up in high school, I wanted to be a bodybuilder. I really did. I lift weights. I could put on mass really easily. Okay, and I loved to eat, so I got that part down. The challenge is, it was always a struggle to eat the right things that fueled my body, number one. Okay, so I wanted to do that. I got these magazines. I loved the Flex magazines back in the day. You know, it was an amazing thing. What I didn't realize, other than the fact that these guys took steroids, one of the things I didn't realize here is that there was a 110% devotion to what they did to look like that. Now, I love Diet Pepsi and I love brownies, so I'm never going to look like that. I just face that fact. And this is the key for me, though, is to be like that, to be at that top perfection. They say that that group of people is only about 5%. Only 5%. Those people, some of those people have natural genetics, okay, and they're going to get there really easily. Other people, like me, have to really work at it if I want to be there, okay? But the key to what they do to get their bodies in that complete, flexed, ripped desire is they have to have absolute, 100% obedience to what they're doing. They absolutely have to give everything they do, their heart, their soul, their strength, and mind to it. They are on clockwork when they eat. How many meals they eat down to the ounce of chicken that they eat. The workouts that they do, they work out so many hours a day and so many times a day, certain body parts today. One of the things I didn't realize when I started running marathons is I always thought you just put on a pair of shoes and you just go, okay? Now, if you're just wanting to go out and have a little jog, that's perfectly what you do. To run 26.2 miles, I was clueless. I bought a book back in the day, Hal Higdon's book on how to run, and it was a lot of encouragement. It told me how many miles I'm supposed to run today, and that was for the average person. And then Kevin went out and started running, and I'm dying out here. I don't know what's going on. I'm doing everything the book told me. Because my body wasn't like that, number one. And what I realized is, a lot of things they didn't tell you is that you can't run very fast right out of the gate and get to 26.2 miles. You can't run very fast every single day of the week. You can't run every single day of the week in the first place. Some people can, but my body has to recover. It's also the things that you eat, the things you eat the day before. Okay, if you ever played football or in high school, whatever, they ate that pasta meal right before. Same way, we ate pancakes or pasta or something right before a long run. There's also the fuel that you take during the run. It's the hydration before and during the run. So many things went into all this, and I had no idea. But it's things that required me to grow and have strength and perfection. And for those weightlifters, those bodybuilders or those fitness models or whatever, they had to be absolutely perfect every day. When somebody walked up to them and said, hey, there's this little fun-sized Snicker bar. Would you like one? You know, I'm the first guy. This is absolutely, that's not going to do anything to my diet this week. I'm still going to lose my weight. I'm going to still hit my goal. They wouldn't take that itty-bitty ounce no matter what. It was water every day no matter what. It wasn't just a sip of a Coke or something, and they think that's not going to do anything. They were always afraid that one little thing was going to trump everything they'd done up to that point. Olympians, same way. They will not put things into their body that they think at all could possibly hinder their ability for that 1/100th of a second that someone could beat them. That one chance that somebody could beat me because I ate a fun-sized Snicker bar the night before, they won't do it. Because again, it's that one thing in life that stumbles us. Our lives are the same way spiritually. We could be strong in our life 365 days of the year. But I thought, you know what, just for a moment, I could give in to this little sin, it's not going to hurt anybody. I'm the only one that knows about it. Nobody else knows about it. And when I do it, you know, I'm perfect. I'm good. I'm strong. I've been great for 365 days. If I just give in to this, I'll just go right back on the track and do 365 more again. But I'm going to have fun just this one moment in time. And what you did is you just broke the consistency. When Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, how many sins did they commit? When God said, if you commit this sin, you shall surely die. How many sins did they commit? One. Often people think that I could just sin this one time and I'll just repent and everything will be okay all of a sudden. It was one sin that brought about what? Death. No, it wasn't a physical death, but it was a spiritual death that they now inherited because of that sin. It was one sin. Now, how many of you, you don't have to raise your hands, how many of you committed one sin? And you might say, well, Kevin, that's definitely not singular, it's plural. Sins. Committed lots of sins in my life. Not proud of those things, but my point being is, if one sin brought about death, how many things could bring about because of all the sins that I've ever done? And I'm definitely inherited death because of my sins. But thank our Lord Jesus Christ has redeemed us from those sins. But when I think about my life and I'm striving to do good things and I'm striving to do righteous things, and I'm striving for this maturity and getting closer to God and closer to Christ, why are we allowing that one little thing to break that? To stop it, to slow it down, to alter our pathway from getting to heaven. Because somewhere, some way, we lost the consistency. We weren't consistent in what we do spiritually, and because of that, we started falling. We started backsliding. We didn't go to church one Sunday just because of whatever, because it's a beautiful day outside. Well, then the next Sunday came. Well, man, that was a good Sunday too. We're going to skip that Sunday. And before you know it, it was 3 Sundays, and it was 3 years, and it was last 10 years I haven't been to church. If you haven't been to church in 10 years, you probably haven't prayed in 10 years. You probably haven't read your Bible in 10 years. My point being is we lost the consistency. Now, God is not asking us to be robots and only being here just because. It's because of who He is that we should be here. And that's where the consistency comes in, that we don't allow the things to come into our life to alter us. When you allow something to come into your life to break the consistency, you're allowing that thing to start pulling you away from God. And you may not recognize it. You may not realize it. And you say, you know, I'm all good. I'm still there. I'm great. No, you're not. You broke something. You stopped something. And now you might say, well, I'll do everything I can to get it back. But that's not you. You can't do anything to get it back. It's up to Him and His grace and His mercy to allow you to come back. Yes, you're striving forward in your faith and your obedience. Yes, it's part of it, but it's on everything of Him. And think about that. If I'm going to break the consistency of being devoted to Christ, you think what it took just to get me there in the first place was His death. And I'm willing to go ahead and break the consistency and go ahead and just give in to sin or something for just a little bit, just to enjoy myself, thinking everything is going to be okay in the end. But you put Him back on the cross again when you do that. He's encouraging us here that we walk by the Spirit. This is a daily thing, a continual thing. And how do we do that? We have spiritual things. And He's saying this is a spiritual lifestyle, a spiritual character. And it sets itself, as He says, in opposition against the things of the flesh, that you can't do those things. The only way we can do those things is when we give into those things. In chapter 6 and verse 1, then I'll start to wrap this up a little bit. In chapter 6 and verse 1, He says, brethren, even if anyone is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourself, so that you too will not be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But each one must examine his own work, and then he will have reason for boasting in regard to himself alone and not in regard to another. For each one will bear his own load. The one who is taught the word is to share all good things with the one who teaches him. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. I remember hearing a sermon about this one time years ago, and a man said this: if you sow beans, you're going to reap beans. If you sow tomatoes, you're going to reap tomatoes. It's not the opposite. If you sow beans, you're not going to reap apples. And if you sow tomatoes, you're not going to reap oranges. Now, there are times in the greenhouse, most of you know I own a greenhouse, kind of like the one across the street. Our kids will help us plant sometimes, okay? And if we're planting tomatoes sometimes, we might be planting Big Boy or beefsteak or Ruggers or cherry tomatoes of some sort. And there's a few times where they've gotten a Big Boy messed up with cherry tomato. And a customer will think that he's buying a Big Boy tomato, and all of a sudden, a month later, he's got cherry tomatoes on there. That stuff happens. Different concept, we labeled it differently. But if you sow something, that is exactly what you're going to reap. When I was sitting in the truck right before services started here, I opened up my social media, my Facebook, because I seen a notification on there and I wondered what it was. Well, the neat thing about Facebook is it shows you a history thing, something you did back in time on this day. And when I opened it up, there was something that I wrote back in 2011. It says, who you were yesterday depends on who you are today. And who you are today will depend on who you will become tomorrow. You reap what you sow. And I honestly read that on my timeline this day back in 2011. I posted this Galatians, the sixth chapter verse. Coincidence? Maybe, maybe not. Today the Lord told me to preach on Galatians chapter 6. And he says, the things that you sow, that is exactly what you're going to reap. Now, up until this point, I've said this. Consistency is key. And that's exactly wrong. Consistency is not key. The right consistency is key. Because you can be consistent in doing bad things time and time and time and time again, and you will never see growth. I consistently could eat the negative things in my diet and never wonder why I'm losing weight. I consistently go out and exercise every day of my life and still again wonder why I'm not getting stronger or losing weight, because I'm doing it all wrong. And so many times in life, we think we're doing so many things right, and we're doing it all wrong because we don't have the knowledge. We don't have the foundation. And I'm going out, and I'm striving to live this life in a Christian lifestyle, and I keep hitting stumbling blocks, I keep failing, I keep giving into sin and temptation, and everything is going on. Why? Because you're doing it the wrong way. You're striving for perfection. My relationship's not getting better. Why? Because maybe I'm not loving my wife or my husband in the same way that Ephesians chapter 5 tells me to. I'm expecting them to do everything in my relationship, and I'm not serving them, and I wonder why it's not going right. There's so many things in life we're doing wrong because we don't read the Bible. We don't read the text that tells us how. When we come to that knowledge and that foundation of what the Lord asks us to do, then go out in that accurate, that sure, that right consistency, it is then that you'll see the growth. So many times I go back to the weight loss thing, we day after day after day, and I stand on my scale and I'm not happy with what the scale says, and I just give up. I go for 2 weeks and I start putting on these clothes again, they're still tight, and I just give up. If we don't see direct results as Christians in our spiritual lives, we just give up. And we wonder why. Part of the reason is because we're not doing it right. And there's no consistency in it. You want to be a good Christian on Sunday morning, but go right out the door and sin all over again for 6 old days and come right back in here, put my tie on, I'm going to be a Christian. That's not consistency. And we wonder why we're failing. We wonder why time and time again we keep falling back and we never get closer to God. We never have things right in our lives. And we wonder why we're just not growing spiritually. When the test of things come back up, we wonder why we keep failing. We have to have the consistency of sowing the good things, because if we don't, he says here in verse 8, you will reap what you sow. And if you sow bad things, that's exactly what you're going to get. If we sow bad things spiritually, we ought not to be surprised when we stand before the Lord's feet and he says, depart from me, you lawless person, and cast him into all Hades for all eternity. That's what you're going to get. But the confidence and the hope that we have, that when we recognize our freedom in Jesus Christ and we put on the spiritual things and we live a spiritual life and we sow spiritual things, we will reap spiritual things. Now you might say, well, Kevin, I get it, man. I keep trying to do things right and I keep time and time again, Kevin, I know the Word of God. And I go out every day and I serve people and I love people. And sometimes my life still has those stumbling blocks, the things that aren't perfect. And I get that. As long as Satan's in this world and sin is in this world, we're going to have those things. Let's be honest with ourselves. Our lives, as long as we're here, is not ever going to be perfect. But the hope and the confidence that we have is that Jesus Christ dying for our sins. And as long as we stand firm and we are consistent in our devotion to one another, and more importantly, our devotion to Him, He says, one day you will reap what you sow. God knows everything that we say, think, or do. He knows everything that we sow in those words. And one day His promise is this, that we will reap that eternal reward, that we will reap that eternal life. But are we consistent in those spiritual things? Are we consistent in the right spiritual things? And if we are, we will see maturity in our lives. We will be able to help one another. And one day our Lord will reward us for all eternity in heaven. And the invitation for you this morning is to be baptized, to repent of your sins. If you've committed sin and you just need the prayers of the saints here, may you come forward now as we stand and sing.